Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt podcast.
Okay, Jim Gerhardt, along with Bob Williams, a pair who've been lolling around the radio station for, 25, 26 years now.
Yep.
And I wanted to bring up something we haven't talked about a lot. It's email that people can send us, and the address is
jim@nj1015.com.
And so we would really appreciate that because it gives you some idea of what we should be talking about. And I think you got a couple of things. Since we were totally concentrated on the state of New Jersey history for 25 years, and on the station, the history of the station, you may have questions about that or comments. Are things you might want to bring up about it. You may just want to poke sticks in our cage for things that we've talked about that you take issue with.
Or stuff that, like you say, that you want us to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Give us some ideas.
Jim@nj1015.com.
Yeah, we would appreciate some feedback here. Just let us know what direction you want us to go. Okay, what is going on? I think this is a Tuesday. This is the day when we're doing this. Mm-hmm. The big news, of course, is the Donald Trump-Kim Jong-un meeting that happened in Singapore. Mm-hmm. By the time you hear this, it'll be a few days later, but this will still be the top story, I believe. And, of course, what is interesting, as you know, they reached something of an accord. Everybody gave up a little bit. Kim Jong-un has decided this time, no kidding. I wonder if they checked to see if his fingers crossed again. But this time, no kidding, they were going to reduce their nuclear arsenal and stop being so aggressive. And from our side, the president gave up the military exercises and some of the military activities in Korea. Yeah,
He called it war games.
Well, the war games is what they've been calling it, which is obviously a threatening move. There's no doubt about it. There's a similarity between this and the Cuban Missile Crisis. I think the president's going to get criticized because of giving up the war games, not because the other side particularly has a problem with that, but simply because the president agreed to it. So naturally, the elite from the left have to come up with something, and I think that's what they'll criticize. And they'll claim, oh, well, he gave this away. You're going to hear the name Neville Chamberlain a lot. Well, who is Neville Chamberlain? Bob, who is Neville Chamberlain?
Tell me.
Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of Great Britain in 1940, or maybe 1938.
Before Churchill?
Churchill. But what he did, Hitler was threatening Europe. Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of England, went to Germany to negotiate with Adolf Hitler. There's a very great parallel here because Chamberlain, of course, representing Great Britain, these were the good guys. The Nazis were the bad guys and Hitler. And so they tried to reach some kind of an accord. Now, Neville Chamberlain had wired back home, "We've done it. I have this document signed by Mr. Hitler. It'll bring us peace in our time." And so Neville Chamberlain came back. He got off the airplane. There's a lot of pictures of this. He holds up this document, this supposedly accord, this non-aggression pact with Hitler. Now, interestingly enough, there was a song that came out that pretty much wraps this up. Mm-hmm. And this was by a group whose name I cannot remember, but it was a great album of smash flops, it was called. And one of them dealt with Neville Chamberlain, the British Prime Minister. I guess going back a bit, after he brought that home, held this up, peace in our time. Within a couple of weeks, Hitler invaded Poland, negated the whole thing. War broke out. World War II was off and running. So the song was, "Good job, well done, Neville Chamberlain. You've brought us peace in our time. You met with Mr. Hitler and all those Nazi chaps. And though you did appease them, to be sure, you brought us home a treaty and a non-aggression pact that jolly well brings us peace that will endure. A good job, well done, Neville Chamberlain." Now, you're not going to hear that. This is the only place you're going to hear that. But that I think they're going to bring up. Also, the parallel, in a sense, with the Cuban Missile Crisis, because the criticism will be that the president gave up something to get something.
What do you think they're talking about guarantees for security that the North Koreans were saying that they were going to be guaranteed?
Oh, yeah. Well, the guaranteed no regime change. In other words, the dictator can continue to enslave his people. Mm-hmm. There is no human rights thing here saying that you have to let half your population out of jail and you have to give some food to the other half.
Yeah.
Nothing like that, which would be good, which will be another criticism.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know that there was any choice except just to defuse the situation a bit. Then you try to work from there. And again, I said as a parallel with the Cuban Missile Crisis, for which everybody gives John Kennedy right for having a brilliant response, which is true. But on the other hand, what he gave up in return for a guarantee from Nikita Khrushchev that there would be no missiles within 90 miles of our border, that's the way they put it when they had missiles from Russia and Cuba, in return for bringing out or removing the missiles, then Kennedy had to agree to remove American missiles that were ringed around Russia, some closer than 90 miles. We had the whole Soviet Union rigged with missiles. So they gave those up. And so that was the beginning, really, of something that kind of established a detente. Everybody backed up for a little while. So this is some of the criticism that I think you're going to find. They have to do it. I don't know why. Did you see that thing, Robert De Niro, who was a great actor?
At the Tony Awards?
Well, he goes to an award, and the first thing he does, it had nothing to do with entertainment of the Tony Awards, it suggests that the president, perform, and have biblical and knowledge of himself.
Anatomically impossible.
All this hatred, where it's coming from, I don't know. It's like a volcano. There's something under the culture, like underground, you know, the heat that causes the volcanic eruptions, like a pimple popping. Pressure builds up and it comes out. You can speculate on this. Sociologists of the future certainly will. What has brought this to a boil in America in this particular culture? This is a crazy culture. I tell you what, talking about the president and the culture and news, what's going on, the Russian thing is still going on. I'd like to say a few words about that. Matter of fact, I may yell them. They talk about Russia has interfered in our election, tried to. Of course they did. That's what countries do. Every country. We lead the league in that. There are over 60 documented cases where this country meddled in the affairs of others to try to tip an election. And the reason you do that is for your own protection, because you want a government in other countries that you have to deal with.
Wasn't there rumor that we were messing with Israel's elections a couple of years ago?
Of course. And they mess with ours. I can guarantee you that. But you want to guarantee that the other, or at least as far as you can, you'd like to have the other governments more pleasantly disposed toward your policy. So you'll take the candidates and you'll pick the one that you think is more amenable to your aims, your goals, and you'll try to support that candidate. And while we're doing all this screaming and yelling about it, you can bet your backside that agents of this country are all over the world trying to influence elections somewhere else. Okay, a little bit more on that coming up.
I found it interesting that Kim Jong-un brought his own loo with him, his own toilet to the, I don't know if you heard that. He brought it, I guess they don't want anything left behind that they could determine that he's got illnesses or something like that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he travels with his own personal toilet.
Well, if he happened to miss whatever where there was, would probably be worshipped by the left in this country. It would be an object of awe and superstition, and it'd be enshrined.
You imagine being the guy that has to pick through that sort of thing?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, a happier note. Much happier. Let me talk about the CSI group. My great friends there, Peter Greco, Sandra, and the boys, and this great business that they have dealing with finances. Now, the backbone of their service structure is the team. It's sort of a team effort, although it's led by these complete professionals in the family and their associates. The boys, we have Joseph and John and James and Jack Tamari, an associate who handles my accounts with them. And it's a team thing. They select and assign specific members of the professional staff to our client's specific needs. This is why, even though I'm very good terms with the family and certainly work with them, then they have turned this account over to Jack. So there's certainly more individual attention. And you'll be very surprised with the approach. It provides the clients with a very high level of professional expertise and certainly increased peace of mind. So the team members are not only CPAs, they also have other licenses, expertise to assist clients, attorneys. The professionals who make up the team have the skills and expertise to work effectively with all clients in any financial matter. We talk more about this, I guess, around tax time. But at this time, after that, then if you have not used the CSI group, you may be sitting around looking over your shoulder. But with them, you absolutely will not. You'll go out there with complete out of it with complete peace of mind. So look, for any financial matter, talk to the CSI group. Find out more. Get a lot of information about this fine organization at CSICPA.com. CSICPA.com or call 1-800-TAX-LAWS. Okay, I tell you, before we get back to the Russia thing, just some of the things going on in New Jersey that are striking. Bob, did you ever notice that government is absolutely great and relentless at regulating things?
Oh, that's their wheelhouse, Jim.
But they're extremely poor at doing things that actually help us with our lives, which is why we sent these people there in the first place. Mm-hmm. But they're carried away. Now, in New Jersey this week, Comrade Murphy had signed into law a couple of regulations. One is there's no smoking on the beaches at the shore. Hmm. Were you aware of that?
No, I heard that it was happening. I didn't know it was a...
Well, it's not a bad idea. Yeah. You know, not that I disagree with it. Yeah. There is another one that, new gun laws, tightening up gun laws, mm-hmm. which of course are going to do nothing, but it gave the legislature something to do, I guess,
rather than deal with property taxes. Yeah.
And so they're tightening that up. As Governor Cody had pointed out, Senator Cody too, that this doesn't stop anything. It doesn't really go to the root of the problem because these guns are mostly coming in from somewhere else. And you cannot simply demand that other states pass laws that are the same as theirs. They have to be federal, and you're not going to get federal laws because there's too much money coming in through lobbyists to the people who make the laws to do anything effectively. Now, I think my feeling is that there's nothing you can do effectively anyway. Banning guns is not going to stop the violence by people who are violence prone. They'll find another way to do it, or they'll find guns. There are, I think I mentioned this once before, and I hope this is a misprint, but I had read that there were 15 million assault-type rifles out in this country. And it's unfortunate because I think the reason people have these is not that they intend to hurt anybody with them or not, or even that keenly interested in the sporting use of them. It's that people in this country feel that something's coming, something's going to happen, and you're going to need this to protect your family. People do not trust the government to take care of them because, as they see in the minds of many people, what they see is that the government actually is on the side of the people they feel are going to cause them the problem or the forces or the ideologies that are going to cause them the problem. So it's a very, very deep problem, and I don't know how you get that solved unless you somehow change the culture. How you do that, I do not know. Now, a calamity will do it. If all of a sudden you had a Great Depression, the Great Depression, all of a sudden, people were so concerned about survival, they forgot all the bull crap and the ideologies and everything. Yeah. And that was a bad time. It was terrible. But nonetheless, it was kind of a reset button. Yeah. And if it hadn't been, America in the 20s had gone wild like it has gone now, pretty much. Mm. And so this brought things back. So I hope that doesn't happen on the one hand. On the other hand, I see it as maybe the salvation of the country. Some calamity that sort of gets everybody off. It's like getting a vicious dog out of the red zone. When your Rottweiler goes into the red zone, and this is scary, then you do something to snap him out of the red zone. A swift kick in the backside sometimes does the trick. Yeah. But it has to be the backside because the front's the business end of that baby. Okay, just wanted to mention that. And talk about regulate. Oh, the two regulations in New Jersey, more gun regulations. One thing I'm looking for now, and I'll offer this as a suggestion to the legislature, that you might try public pooping ban. And that'll give you weeks of debate on that because, Bob, that's popped up again. Not only the school superintendent,
yeah. The pooper intendant.
The pooper intendant. But then there was somebody else or other people who have been, what is there, somebody that caught pooping in driveways. No, I don't know why. I have no idea. But if you see somebody running around with a roll of paper tucked under their arm, watch out.
That's
but,
your person.
You know, this is not that unusual because remember the runny egg law?
Yes,
you remember
I do.
The runny egg law.
Of course.
This was back in the early 90s. I think Governor Florio was on the throne at that time. And he appointed a commissioner of the Department of Health. Her name was Dr. Dunstan, I believe it was. And Dr. Dunstan distinguished herself in a couple of ways. One way that she eventually got fired or moved out of the job because they found out that in addition to being a commissioner, when you don't do that, she was putting in for overtime. Now, at the salary of a commissioner, you're expected to work the hours.
Yeah.
So she was kind of gilding the lily a little bit. But the other thing was the runny egg law that said in New Jersey it was illegal. It was against the law, a punishable offense to serve an egg with the yellow not hardened. Remember that?
Yeah, and how many people love sunny-side up eggs?
It's called the sunny-side egg law.
Yeah.
And you could not do that. Now, I don't know if they had inspectors out, you know, peeping through the bushes to looking in your kitchen. Diners couldn't do it because they'd have agents. It's like this teen catching teen smoking. You have shills hanging out in the fast food joint to catch them or in the liquor stores. So the diners couldn't take a chance because they would get fined for serving the runny egg. Other than giving us all a great laugh, I don't know what the how that came out. I think it was rescinded or just kind of petered out.
Yeah.
But that was not a law passed by the legislature. That was an edict passed by the Department of Health, a public health crisis. People were actually dunking their donut or their toast in their egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, talk about regulations. I notice in California they are imposing new regulations. Have you seen this, Bob, on water use?
No.
They're having a terrible crisis. We've talked with our friend Mike Strisky about that,
right,
who's partly living out there doing business back and forth. And they're having a real crisis with fresh drinking water, clear water, because they have neglected taking care of their sources. And also they have, by overuse of water, pumping the water out of the aquifer, the ground has settled, and they're to the point that in some places salt water is coming in, creeping in from the sea, and that is polluting the rest of the water. So it's a real crisis, but one thing they're doing, they passed a law that says that you cannot take a bath or a shower on the same day that you do a wash or do laundry.
Hmm.
This is true.
That's extreme.
Well, yeah, but this is what they're doing. Now, again, how they police it, I do not know. But again, there are probably people who do it voluntarily because it is a crisis out there. Now, on the other hand, they passed that law, but they have had hundreds of water main breaks because of antiquated delivery system of the drinking water. And in one case in Los Angeles, there were millions and millions of gallons of pure treated drinking water just
gushing up
and down the street. And that has happened, they say, hundreds of times all over the state. Well, nobody passed a law saying that we have to do something about the infrastructure. We have to allot money. We have to budget money for the infrastructure. So you don't want to take money away from programs that buy votes.
Mm.
This is something utilitarian and it's good for all the people. Yeah. And so they don't want to do that. And yet the statistics are staggering if you want to look that up. How much water they lose in California. There was enough in one break that would have provided water supply for the country, I think, for 72 hours.
Incredible.
And that's from a place that doesn't have that much water. And the levels of water they have is down. Agriculture is of course, a big business, and nobody wants to tamper with the big business combines because they give a lot of political money and support. And so one almond, and picture an almond, it takes a gallon of water in the growth and the production of one almond. So you can imagine how many gallons of water go in a huge grove Now, how big are these groves? Well, in one case, and I was surprised by this, this is true. This was a story on what's happening because some of these commodities are becoming valuable. Truck jacking, hijacking trucks full of it. And in one case, a person fraudulently went into one of these huge farms, and he had a truckload of almonds. It was to be delivered, I think, to Chicago or somewhere, a big city in the Midwest. And the truck was stolen, and of course it was, I don't know what they do with it or where it went. Nobody knows. But it was worth $600,000, that cargo.
The cargo, wow.
The truck of almonds. And it may not even have been full. So this is going on out there. And the what's the legislature doing? Instead of fixing the problem, they're trying to restrict the people's use of it. So what these governments do, when they get a problem, it's kind of like what going around the officers of the Titanic posting smoking regulations while the ship's going down.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
You can see one guy hanging onto the fantail, the gunnels there, and he's got in his other hand, he's got a sticker that says no smoking, and he's madly trying to post it as the ship goes down. God. Well, that's the world in which we live. What positively is going on? What a positive thing. Well, in China, and this may be the coming thing here, in China, they have started, in one of the cities, walking lanes for people who are using their noses stuck in a smart device.
Oh, like a texting type thing?
Yeah.
If somebody's texting or sending email?
Yeah, or whatever they're doing phone? That they're distracted by that. Now, we have laws in some cities that say that doing that and walking out off the curb into the traffic, you know, it's your fault.
And a lot of people do that.
You
got to keep your eyes open if you're behind the wheel.
That's why I thought one way to work with a population explosion, you know, open manhole covers, go around, just remove the covers from all the manholes. I think that would have a salubrious effect.
Only has to happen once.
Okay. One more thing I got to tell you. What's coming up after we're going to talk a little bit about Rob Dukansky's group. But after that, I want to get to a more serious matter. I've had occasion in the last couple of years, really, to be a sort of a ward of sometimes of the medical industry or system or in contact with them in one regard or another. And it's absolutely amazing for one who's been around a while, as I have, to see the evolution of medicine and what it has become. The oath now that they, I don't know, sooner or later they'll be taking this oath if they're not when you come in a medical school, that you are going to work to save lives and comfort the afflicted, to simply, we are going to separate the afflicted and the sick from their money, which seems to be the threat. More of that coming up. Yeah. Oh, I did want to. One more thing. Yeah, I said there was one more thing. This is something for you to think about. And that is, actually, what did I do with it? Oh, here we go. Okay, Scooby-Doo. Bob, you remember Scooby-Doo.
Ruby-Roo.
Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
One of the funniest things ever to occur in a movie. I was thinking the other day, I think three times I laughed aloud and couldn't stop from something I saw in a movie. In the Scooby-Doo movie, there's a scene in which Scooby and Shaggy have a decrepitation contest. Have you seen the movie? Oh, you got to watch it. The only thing that'll make me laugh harder is the principal's office scene from Porky's. You haven't seen that?
I've seen
Where have
that
you
one.
Been?
I've seen that one, yeah.
And the other, the third one was Police Academy, the first Police Academy, when they were all lined up in their finery for an inspection.
I know that one,
and
too.
Inspector Lassad was standing there, and this big dog comes up.
Good dog.
And decides to have fellowship with his leg in the middle of this.
Good dog.
But anyway, here's the Scooby-Doo. This is true. Scooby-Doo. Now, this comes from England. From a university in England, they have declared and written, Scooby-Doo was a humanist reactionary responding to the latest, to latent Christianity of Shaggy and Fred and their latent white privilege of Daphne and Velma. What I... Scooby-Doo,
Scooby-Doo.
Okay, shall return in a moment. First of all, that's the world we live in, folks. We have encapsulated the world. And once again, Bob, we really would be grateful for any email that we get.
Jim at NJ1015.com. Yeah. Send your comments, and you want us to talk about stuff here on the podcast.
Or if you want us to sit down and shut up, go home. you want to poke sticks in our cage. Okay, but we'd like to hear from you.
Jim at NJ1015.com.
Yeah. So let me talk about Rob DeKansky for a moment again. What do you do if your real estate agent can't sell your home and the listing expires? Well, what you do, instead of going out and getting yourself in the same pickle again, call Rob DeKansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. Now, Rob will guarantee to sell your home at a price and a deadline that you agree to, or he'll buy it. And there's no risk because you can get out of that anytime you want. Just say, hey, I think I'm going to do something else. Example here, a couple of nice people, Kim and Brian in South Plainfield, needed a larger home for their growing family. And they wanted to sell for the most money, of course, because they wanted to move into bigger digs, which would require extra expense. However, the plans were stalled when their house was on the market with another agent for 6 months. Nothing. Nada. So enter Rob and his team. Rob's aggressive marketing generated huge interest. The home sold in just 34 days for over $310,000. And better yet, now the family could move on with their life with room to grow. Call the official real estate agent of New Jersey 101.5, the only agent that I would ever think of calling if I needed to sell my home, Rob DeKansky, 855-350-1015. That's 855-350-1015, or online at robsellsnj.com. So call Rob and run home real quick and start packing. Well, let's come down out of the ethereal clouds of philosophy and doing wise. And let's do kind of fun, Bob. You brought up something interesting. This is brand new in the field of what advertising.
Yeah. It's the new campaign for IHOP, International House of Pancakes. They did this big marketing blitz last week about they're going to change the name from IHOP to IHOB. And they said, tune in on Monday of this past week and we'll tell you what the B stands for. Well, it built up some interest. People are going, oh, what is it? International House of Breakfast or International House of whatever? Well, it turns out to be International House of Burgers. Now, and then they come clean that they're not actually going to change the name of the franchise to IHOB, but they're trying to market more burgers. Oh, for God's sakes, come on. You're known for pancakes.
I miss that. I saw something. I was watching one of the cable shows. I saw something about the hamburger.
Yeah.
But I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it.
You can understand they want to build up their crowds because they lose their crowds after breakfast because they're known for great breakfast. Yeah. But they want to build up their lunch and dinner menus. But there a better way of doing it? They changed it. They're going to change the name to IHOP and IHOB, and then they get old people all frenzied and stuff.
What's popping into my mind now some parallels when Kmart turned itself into the Big K. They went down the
drain. Oh yeah. And what about the genius who reinvented the Coca-Cola, New Coke? Remember that years ago? That bombed like crazy. Then they had to reintroduce classic Coke. It's like, why are you messing with something that's tried
McDonald's
and true?
At one time decide they were going to have healthy food and
I remember the McLean burger.
Burgers,
it's like people go to McDonald's for fat and fun. You're not going there for healthy choices, for God's sake. Well, and then they changed the McDonald's was changing the vegetable oil or something in the French fries. It changed the flavor of the fries, and I think they went back to the original formula. It's like, come on, people.
And remember the rumor? This, I guess it's not related to that. What was the rumor that McDonald's was using something, worms or something, ground? Wasn't it ground up in their burgers?
Yeah.
Which, of course, is ridiculous.
Yeah. But back
but
to
people believed it.
Yeah. And back to IHOP, I thought Burger King was pretty funny. They tweeted out a picture of their new campaign. They're calling themselves Pancake King.
So we have.
I thought that was pretty funny.
We have another advertising Edsel sticking its head up here. I wanted to mention something. I brought up Governor Cody. Yes, he's a senator still, Richard Cody, but he actually is the title governor because of the time he served after McGreevy left. He is officially a titled governor. And I just wanted to mention the fact that, and in my view, he is the man who should have been governor before the party sold out to John Corzine's money. But according to the surveys, Governor Cody, during the year or so that he was governor, had the highest approval ratings of anybody's ever had in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And he would have been a shoe-in had the party
Been a great governor.
So this was not a popular choice. This was the party wanted the money.
Yeah.
And Corzine was laying big bucks on the local county organizations. So he got it. But Governor Cody wrote a book, and it's called Me, Governor. It's actually a question. Me, Governor? And it said, My Life in the Rough and Tumble World of New Jersey Politics. And you should read this if you have an interest and affection for New Jersey, because he's explaining in here very humorously at times. The man has a great sense of humor, but also certainly a great sense of public service. One of the politicians that I've had some contact with during my time on the air that I really respected for the fact that, hey, this guy really cares about people. How'd he get in office? But he's actually the only politician I've ever heard of around here who actually risked his life one time to get information to try to correct a big injustice. That had to do with the mental health. Mm. He went underground in a large mental institution and he did come out with all kind of abuses, with stories of them and documentation, and it changed a lot. But he could have been killed at that time in history. Mm-hmm. By people who were involved in some of the stuff that was going on.
So this is a new book?
This has been out for a few years.
Okay.
One thing, and now even this has become a national story, the gerrymandering, redistricting in favor of a particular political party. And in New Jersey, this redistricting goes on, I believe, every 10 years. He goes into the best explanation I've ever seen of just how this is done. Now, what he's talking about is not the result of it or the cause of it, but the making of the sausage. This is the real down and dirty stuff that goes on in redistricting. And you would enjoy that. So I've always had this great respect for the governor. And maybe part of it is because Mary Jo, Mrs. Cody, has stuck with the man for all these years. He must have something good going. She is a remarkable, remarkable lady of great courage. So anyway, the book is called Me, Governor, Richard J. Cody. So if you want to know, again, if you want to go into the sausage factory of New Jersey politics, get the book, Me, Governor. Once again, Bob, the email thing, because we would love to hear from you.
Yep, jim@nj1015.com, jim@nj1015.com.
Okay, thank you very much. Have yourself a great week.
Thanks for listening to the new Jim Gerhart podcast.
Still cooking, and it's bigger than ever.
From NJ1015.com.